نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اللهم قال الله تعالى في قران مجيد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد العالم الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله البارقم الله اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعليه وصحبه وبارك وسلم أما بعد
The insan, the human being, in his deen, in his religion, there are many restrictions, many hurdles, many barriers, so many ways and problems in which a person, he has to face the challenges, the hurdles. And it's not the case that the solution is not present for those issues, for those hurdles. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these issues, and due to the issues, the reason for them present, to be present, is just this, that the individual, the human being, so that he can pass through the tests in his deen. Allah gives tests and challenges through the deen, and the hurdles and barriers become a means for that person to be elevated. In all instances, Allah Ta'ala's hikmah is present. In every situation, Allah's hikmah is present. Allah's wisdom. All issues or restrictions or hurdles, when they come in front of our deen, even they are a very big source of elevation and increase in rank. The objective for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, especially for the mu'mineen, Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to make them disappointed. Allah doesn't want to send the mu'mineen to hell. Allah says, I don't want that any individual goes to hell, because I don't want any mu'min, any person who's created human being, to go to hell. Rather, we are running ourselves towards Jahannam. So every issue or hurdle, Allah has definitely given a solution for that. Basically, if there's a big issue or situation facing us, for example, one we'll discuss now, and the beginning of that, the initiation isn't today, rather the start of life, that situation arose at that time, from the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. Since then this issue has started. So what we need to do is that when from the Prophets alayhi salam, when with the order of Allah, then instances occur during their lives, then all of those instances are for our education, because the Prophets are innocent. They are innocent. But Allah Ta'ala, via the lives of the Prophets, to give us education and learning, Allah gives us warning and admonishment through their lives, the example, so that they become a source of learning for us. The Prophets came for this purpose, so that with a physical demonstration they could teach human beings. And then Allah Ta'ala, He tests us and challenges us in a similar way. Somebody, for example, a prophet, his people were punished, or they went through trials or problems or challenges. And all of this was ta'aleem, education for us, and we could learn the lesson from this. So Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, even all the instances in his life and the occurrences were for us to be educated and taught, because he was the Nabi, the Prophet of Allah. So Allah used him as an example. So this silsila, this masala that we're going to discuss, started at that time, that when we came from the heavens to the earth with this issue, and that issue from that time until now, maybe will continue till Qiyamah, and today that issue is at the heights. As the time and the eras, generations go further away from the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, this masala, many issues will occur, many hurdles will occur. And this hurdle and restriction is a very big issue today. Very big issue. Because all sins originate from this issue. This is the root of, you could say, the sins and vice or evil. From this source, from this issue, an individual starts to embark on sin and doing wrong. And a person is astray, distress and problems and difficulties and difficult circumstances. All of these originate due to this issue. If we can solve this issue, this problem, then we wouldn't be in dunya anymore. We'd be living in and abiding in paradise. That's how big a problem this is. And this problem, it starts as soon as a child comes to the world. As soon as a child is born, this problem originates. And it continues throughout the life. So that's why I'm discussing this point with you. So that the work that you have started, the task you have started, we have started, this issue is related to that as well, to that journey. And what is that problem? What is this issue that's present and very dangerous and is the biggest restriction and is the root of all sins, of distress and problems and difficulties? The root cause of all of that is this issue. What is that problem? It's the stomach. The stomach. You know, our stomach is the biggest problem for a human being. The stomach. Today, for the problem of the stomach, it's the same problem. The same issue. Environmentally, society, it creates issues amongst society. We have made this a problem within society. Now, the society around us, people around us, how in the whole world, this is, for example, you have the banking system, the interest system, we have the so-called modern technology system. What is all this? This is all the society around us, all dunya, and the insan is trapped in this dunya. In the environment, the biggest issue, problem that clashes with the deen is related to the stomach. And is this right or wrong what I'm saying? So if, for example, you were to take the stomach out for a while, would you wake up in the morning to earn your bread? Would you go to the shop to buy shopping? Oh, I don't need to go. No need. End of story, isn't it? All the problems solved. Will you argue with anybody? Will there be any greed? Will somebody consume haram? Will there be any issues or problems? Will you think about tomorrow or the day after that? The thing that takes everyone to hell is the same thing. From morning till evening, it drags us along. All the problems are in front of us. Morning till night is the stomach. Like, for you have all come from countries far and wide, different backgrounds. Why have you come to this country? Why we say it? It's the stomach that has pulled us in. The stomach. Whose heart feels to leave his home, his background? Now we are permanent here, but who is there? Where you are born, where is your origination, your origin, your climate, your background. Remember that the plant, wherever it is from, that's how it grows and it shows its fruits. If you put that plant or flower somewhere else, then it will die away. So within us, it's the same. Where we've come from, we are everything the same. And that's the origin. That's the origin. If you want to experience this point, that when a person goes to his origins, to his home country, then hundreds or thousands of diseases and sicknesses of his, they are eliminated automatically because he adjusts to that environment. That I heard this from somebody who's very experienced quite a long time ago. And I was impressed with what he said. And really, he's right. He's correct. So the reason for coming from so far away to travel is to improve our life in the dunya, the material. Material things, stomach. Yes. And then a person has greed due to the stomach, difficulties come due to the stomach. And the biggest thing is that insan, he has no peace, no contentment. He's not satisfied. Not satisfied. And this problem has distributed humankind into three parts. And I haven't read a book and I'm not sharing that. Just what's coming in my mind, I'm sharing with you. I'm not saying that you will maybe all agree with what I'm saying. You should also ponder. This is like a classroom discussion. So what I understand, I'm just sharing with you. It's not necessary that I've read a book or studied this subject, or I'm a master of society and the material dunya. But these are experiences of my life. And the experiences, when a person speaks based on experiences, is better than thousands of books and theory. Remember this. That's why I stated that our pious elders, our elders used to say, that sit with the elders and listen to their words because they have a lot of experience in life. And they're basically, maybe they haven't studied theory, but compared to big books, you can't get the nasihah and advice that you can get compared to an old man. We think, oh, they're backward, he's not studied, he's illiterate. But if you sit down for a short while and listen to his words, in broken words, he will tell you such things that you'll be amazed what you learn from the elders. From the elders. So today's society is finished. It doesn't have that same effect. Yeah, now Mr. Google has come. Google's a mufti, he's a scholar as well, he's a mulana as well. Google, you get all your answers you want from Google. Yeah, he's a doctor as well, the tabib, the hakim. You name it, we just run to Google. Computer was just controlling the dunya. This is the fitna. So, what I was saying was that three parts the insan, the society has split man into three parts. One is the extremely wealthy sector of society, not rich, extremely wealthy sector of society. One other sector is the poorest of all, and then the third sector is the one in between, hanging in between. So three parts we have in society today, if you distribute man into three parts: extremely wealthy, extremely poor, and in between. Now the main thing for a human being, for which a human being wants to progress, advance, for which he wants to make money, he wants to make buildings, shops, run businesses after one, make three, I want big car and big assets. In the background, what's driving all of this? Yes, the wealthy sector wants to do more, wants to make more, wants to accrue more. And those who are poor, they are in that sad phase of life. Oh, I ain't got anything. They've got more than me. I also want to have the same. So that effort, that striving, and that desire that they've got all of this, and he's got this, and she's got this. What will my children do? What will we do? How will we eat? How will we progress? And those in between, the poor souls, they're not here, they're not there. The example of that person is like a person who, that for example, his mouth goes red. And then he doesn't, for example, have a red complexion, so he by force slaps himself, that I also want to become red, my complexion. So he forces himself. So the person in between is not here nor there, not rich nor poor. So he's just running around, lost. So these are the three parts of society. And all three sectors, all three groups, their objective was what? To become rich. Everyone had this objective that when I become rich and wealthy, then I'll be satisfied and content. I'll just make one house, one nice house. He just has that desire that I want peace and contentment. If more money comes, we'll have more wealth, then it'll be easy for me, then I'll have no worries left in life. Whenever you see this, a person, when he tries to advance, progress, behind that, that, oh, I'll be peace, living a life of peace and contentment, all my issues will evaporate, all the problems will be solved when I get a little bit of money, I'll have a nice life that I'll be living. Am I right or am I wrong? Am I right or wrong? If this was not the concept, then no person would try to advance in terms of wealth. And this is society. Okay, so fine. But today, until today, there's no example in history that person has, doesn't matter how wealthy he becomes, does it take any example? That if you go and ask him in his ear, are you fine? Are you okay? Never will he say that I'm at peace. Those problems, there's still issues. There's still worries. There's still challenges. He doesn't have sakina. He hasn't got that sakina he's looking for. And I'll give you big examples I can give to you. Big examples today, such as so-called wealthy people, who in all their lives they're rolling in the money. But no, problems are present. Issues are still there. Okay? So the poor, he is there, and his job, and he's trying to go higher and higher. He's not at peace anyway. He himself has made himself without contentment, without peace, by just comparing himself to others. And he keeps giving examples. Look, he's got this much, he's gone higher, his sons have got this much. And in that, those examples, he spends the rest of the life in sadness. And those in the between, they're going down, they're looking down, and they're looking up. So in no sector will you see satisfaction. Is this what Allah Ta'ala has made the dunya for? Is what Allah Ta'ala has made the dunya for? That we live the life without peace and contentment? And anxiety. If a person's living an anxious life, what ibadah will he do? How will he remember Allah? If he does ibadah, then his foundation, his focal objective will be that I'm doing this so that, do dua for me so I can have a shop tomorrow, do dua so I can get another car, do dua. His center focal point for doing ibadah will be the same point, that he also wants to have a life free from anxiety and full of wealth. Say subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So these are facts that I'm sharing with you. Facts. For this reason, so we can extract ourselves from this vicious cycle, say subhanallah. So brothers, colleagues, if you don't have the contentment, if the rich person's not at peace, if the poor person's not at peace, nor the person in between, society is just wasting their time, and everything we see around us, kharafat and loss and negligence, no deen, sin upon sin, a society full of sin, and a person's dying in that environment, and straight he goes to Jahannam. That's the problem. Same problem, stomach is the root cause. Stomach. But this is not a problem. In reality, it's not a big deal. It's not a problem at all. The stomach. So until today, if we see, we study economics, this is a new subject, economics. Yes, sociology, etc., other subjects came, but economics has come recently. And it was created for this reason, this subject, economics. For society, materialism, so that we can look after our monetary issues, banking system, and many other new things are coming to try to look after and enhance the financial side of life. But no one has attained success. When the banks came, then another problem came, then sin interest was spread, then debts, and then a person gets stuck in debt, and the cycle of interest and riba. And we see the financial society today was made for this, that they want to improve their quality of life. They want a higher quality of life, peace in life. They say, look, take this loan from us, and take it on interest, then you can repay in this way, and then take some more money, and the person gets stuck. And more new things. If you want to buy a house, there's another method. Take a loan and we'll buy this house for you. And then we'll loan you the money. Then you'll have a debt. And then that person's stuck in another problem, another spiral. Say subhanallah. So, is this life? And the person dies in this way. So that's why a person's, the color of ibadah don't take effect on a person's life. If we were to solve this problem, my friends, then see how a person worships and ibadah. Because even our ibadat, they are done. Our spiritual side of life is destroyed due to the stomach. Everything we are doing running after the stomach's needs. Even on salaries, on temporary things in the dunya. Even our deen, the color of our deen today has been contaminated with the worldly material things. Where will we eat from? Where will we earn from? How will we progress? How will we advance? Everything in our deen as well is contaminated with worldly things. Whether it's spirituality, whether it's ilm, knowledge, any subject of the deen, take care. The end is the stomach has spoilt everything. The stomach has spoilt everything. End of story. So what's the solution for this? Let's come to the point. Must be a solution, isn't it? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for every problem, He has given a solution. For every issue, Allah has given a solution. But even though we are mu'mins, and the Quran is in our pockets, in our hearts, in our lives, the Quran is, the constitution Allah has given, that any problem under the sun, it cannot be that the Quran will not solve that problem. And especially for the mu'mineen, the believers, Allah says Quran is shifa, cure, rahmah, mercy. The Quran is the problem solver. The Quran is the biggest solver of the problems. But it's so sad to say that we don't want to take the solution from the Quran. Allah says, فَلَا تَتَبُّرُ Quran, that ponder and reflect on the Quran. We don't want that. We have just kept Quran for our own hisab kitab. That's it. And we don't like the words of the Quran. Forgive me what I'm saying. Maybe it looks a bit weird what I'm saying, but I'm telling you totally right. What the Quran says, we don't like it, it pinches us. The Quran says, don't do this, you'll be fine. We say, no, let's go opposite to it. Oh, no, that's too hard, that's too difficult. How can we follow that guidance? We say, no, the problem will not be solved then. No, we're going to go to the bank, we're going to get the loan, we can run this business. We can't take the loan, it'll be too hard. And the person, rather than using the Quran, he becomes a coward. He doesn't accept the Quranic prescriptions. the solution. Is this not the case? Tell me. So he takes that problem that is in the worldly solutions, he'll embrace that quickly to solve his mind problems. Right? Then he gets more stuck, that person, even worse. This is not the case, that the Quran has not given us a solution to the problem. Cannot be. The Quran, if it hasn't told us, that either the Quran has told us or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has verbally told us. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his blessed tongue and his statements, his explanations and words were the explanation of the Quran. There's no such problem under the sun that has not been solved via the Quran or verbally via the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His words were the explanation of the Quran. So Allah ta'ala said in the Quran, whatever my Nabi says, he doesn't speak of his own accord, subhanallah. What I say, Allah says, he speaks from his blessed tongue, subhanallah. My beloved Nabi Sam, he explained the solution to this problem. Say subhanallah. That's why I spoke about this. That I'm also stuck. We are all stuck in these issues and problems. So let's learn the solution. Why are we stuck? Why are we stuck? Because we know full well. We know full well that the solution that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given to us, we're not doing it. And when we're not implementing the solution, then we're stuck in the problem. You understand what I'm saying? So if any individual, if you give someone a cure and he doesn't take that cure, that means he's still a patient. He's not taking the cure. If he was taking the cure, embracing it, saying, I'm getting shifa, then I'll be healthy. I won't be sick anymore. But he's not taking the medicine. He's not taking the cure. He's not consuming the medicine. That's the same way Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given the cure for society, for the problems. And if we were to solve them from, you wouldn't see any man stuck in the problems. You see no patient. That means we are all stuck in that problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say subhanallah. Whoever doesn't implement the solution, 100% he is chained up in that problem. And his generation, his society is stuck in that same problem. So what's the solution? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't speak lengthy explanation. One statement, he give the full solution in one statement. Brief. In one example, the whole society is on one side, and the word of the Holy Prophet is on the other side. And look at our credit. To our credit, it's not this that we were going to first believe in him, we have to do yakin him. No, alhamdulillah, we are those people who we know him and love him more than our own selves, and we accept him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, more than our own selves. This is the connection that the mu'mineen have with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell me. And even then, we are included amongst those people who have anxiety and are living lives of worries and have bad fortunes. They're sad. We have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as our Prophet. We believe in him. We accept him. We love him more than our own selves, our own lives. How much the person, doesn't matter if he's a bad person or the worst of individuals like me, but if Rasulullah's words come, alhamdulillah, we will give up everything for his words. Everything. Every mu'min has this passion. I'll tell you the honest truth. He never stops in the mu'min. Is this not the case? A Muslim can never stop against the statement. He didn't see that, or is he a worshipper? Nothing. Inside there's such a candle, such a flame, such a passion that Rasulullah's love suddenly comes. If you look at the dunya, we'll see such examples in mankind even now, that when it's time to give that sacrifice, then such people gave sacrifice. They weren't religious, maybe deendar. They were normal people. Is this the case about my Prophet? He said this, he takes action. You know the waqia, the examples, the history, straight away. And people in society were amazed, taken aback. Huh? This individual that we didn't even shake, and this man went to the front of the queue. Ishq. Love, it overwhelms everything. We don't understand the message until now, though. We don't understand the message. The ishq, the love, the passion, is suddenly takes a person to the highest. When he heard this about my holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's saying this, and he didn't look left and right. What will happen? What will happen? Tuck, he took the action. Immediately at that time, the action was taken. Allama Iqbal, when people stood at his janaza, Allama Iqbal, from the eyes the tears flowed, and they said that we kept on writing in the books, but this person, he took the highest numbers from us. Tarkhan. So, such love, despite having so much love. Look at this. that we are still, all of us embrace this problem and we are stuck in this problem and we don't want to look for the solution. Nafs has overwhelmed us, our desires have overwhelmed us. So do you understand the problem? What's the problem? The problem is finance, money, wealth, stomach. We're all stuck in this. What's the solution to this? If we were to adopt and embrace the solution, who told us the solution? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us the solution. And we call this hadith. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allahumma kanani. In a hadith is a brief statement, just a very short statement. And in this short statement, the whole society is put to one side. The whole of mankind. One statement, Rasulullah SAW said, مَا رَزَقْتَنِي. Rasulullah SAW said, listen, that he was addressing the noble companions, but the words are arriving, alhamdulillah, to the Muslims until Qiyamah. This is the style, isn't it? The Prophet ﷺ is addressing the Sahaba, but his words are spreading out far to the Muslims until Qiyamah. This was the style of the Prophet ﷺ. Even the worst of ages, the eras, as he gets further away from the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ gave that teaching that, let me explain to you, that do this action. So Allah's Nabi ﷺ explained a very important point in the form of a dua. And use this dua for your solution, because dua, the supplication, is such an action that Allah's help comes when you implement a solution via a dua. Allah with His mercy will help you through that problem. You can't solve it yourself. So Allah has put it into a dua. Dua is the biggest education, ta'aleem. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's duas, they are the greatest cure and solution for our issues. The biggest cure and solution, Dua Masura, everything, all our issues are solved via the Dua Masura, the blessed duas. Whenever you do dua, do those duas, recite those duas that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited. And recite them at that time when you have a need for them. And there's no need in life that doesn't have the solution. There's no need or issue or problem in life that you can't get the solution via the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself stated. Imagine this. There's no part of life in which you have an issue or a problem that you can't get the solution via the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember this. But we don't utilize those duas. We don't repeat those statements that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did when he recited the dua. All solutions are present in those duas of the Prophet. Any feeling, any emotion, any sickness, any sadness, any type of problem, jinn, ghost, mad person, crazy person, majnoon, mental issues, all issues, the Prophet ﷺ has given us the treasures of his duas to solve the problems. And you can experience this. That if you keep reciting the dua, reciting the dua, reciting the dua, after that the peace and coolness descends into a person, the nur comes into the person. The lies. No, once. Keep on repeating that dua. Keep on reciting the dua. The more you recite the dua, you know, like henna, mendi, the more you grind it, the more you grind that, those, the powder and the seeds, the color comes out. That's the effect of the dua. Say subhanallah. Yeah. So we have lots of teachings, and every problem there's a solution. We've got the solutions to all the problems. Yes. So select the dua to, which is attached to your problem, and until that problem is not solved, keep reciting that dua, keep repeating that dua. What do? We say, oh, immediately we want the problem to be solved. Do the dua three times, I don't want it solved. Immediately. I should get that thing after doing dua three times. I want it immediately. Shaitan gives us, makes us lose hope straight away if we don't get it. But the enjoyment is really when? That so much you ask, so much you ask, don't you get what you need? Keep on doing the dua, keep on asking the dua, keep on repeating the dua, keep on performing the dua. And don't step back, don't give up, don't stop. Why? Because we need to keep asking, end of story. Keep on asking, and we are going to ask what Rasulullah taught us to ask, then the question does arise, we won't get it. And if we don't get it, then there's some goodness in that. Then there's some goodness in that. Look what the enjoyment you get at the end of that process. And how much thawab do you get? The, how much nearness of Rasulullah and Allah you'll get via that process. Big, big hikmah. You'll get the love of the Prophet by just doing this action. And look what paths and routes Allah has given to us. Eh? So what's the solution that Rasulullah gave to us? My brothers, coming back to the hadith, my colleagues. So let's look at our solutions first. What we try to do when we have issues financially in society, so we can get peace in life and money, I'll do this, I'll do that. That's our solutions, for which we are running around and distressed, left our countries, lands, sold our iman, iman's been suppressed, children have finished, families finished, we've given up everything. We want status and rank and wealth. That's our solution. And we don't let this stop this process. We want it to keep increasing. The problems keep increasing. Okay, another point. With the solution, what's the solution? Do you understand? The dua? Allahumma kanani ma razaqtani. What's the dua? Oh Allah Ta'ala, say to Allah in the dua, oh mad people, ask from Allah for the solution. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my Rabb, that what you have given to me, the rizq, the money, the wealth, whatever circumstances you give me in my life, eating, for to wearing, and whatever process and wealth you've given to me in my life, okay? Whatever you've bestowed to me, dunya, material, Allah, I am content on that. Allah, qanani Allah, marzaqdani Allah, I'm happy and at peace and satisfied and content. Do you understand contentment? Okay, fine. I'll explain to you what is to be content. Let's discuss this point. One word, content, satisfied, is such that all of the human being's issues are, you can say that he won't go towards interest or fraud or lying or loans or debts. He won't have no need. Because he said, Allah, whatever you've kept given to me in life, whatever status you've given to me, I'm happy, I'm content, I'm satisfied with what you've given to me. I'm happy, Allah. I'm at ease. Big, big statement to say. Big, big statement. I'm happy, Allah. I'm glad. Not Allah, you're not saying Allah, I don't need any more. That, I'm not saying that. You're not saying Allah, I don't need any more. Allah, I'm happy with whatever you've given to me, whatever situation you've given to me. I'm alright with that. I'm okay with that. One is saying, and one is the feelings inside. Saying is one thing, and the feelings are opposite to that. The people, you find many people who say, I'm happy. But those who have the feelings, then their life is very different. With those people, the awliya Allah. Yes, this emotion, feeling, if you bring into your life, then you will be the high status wali Allah when you have this feeling, emotion. What we say, give us wazifa, dhikr, so we can become walis of Allah. Tell me what to recite and do dua so I can get close to Allah. These are the wazifas. These are the lessons. That be happy with your Rabb, your creator, your provider. Be happy and content and satisfied. I don't need, no need Allah to ask you for more. I'm happy with what you've given to me. So contentment and satisfaction, what's the lesson it's given to us? Shall I explain the detail to you about being satisfied and content? That, mashallah, you are pious and good people. What can I say to you? But the, what I share with you, just consider it. Maybe it's a minor, but maybe it will come into your heart, the learning. So what does it mean? That Allah Ta'ala, whatever situation you've placed me in, I've got a job, employment, and I've attained some employment, and I get £200 salary in this job, in which I have to give the rent, and I have to pay the electricity bill, and I have to educate my children, everything. That's my position in life, what you've given to me. And in this position, if a person says, I'm happy, I'm content, No. I don't need to run around left and right. I have no need to do this. My objective is not the dunya. My objective is what? Is akhirah, hereafter. And this is our life, my friends. The mu'min's life is this. This is what we call mutma'in, content, satisfied person, a person who's happy. Will he consume haram, that person? Will he take anybody else's wealth? Will he oppress anybody? Will he steal anyone's money? Will he lie? Will he claim in a wrong way? Never. He will say, I'm happy, I'm content. Because he's satisfied and he's happy with what Allah has given. He'll say, I'm at peace. What's the reason? What does he think, that person? He thinks that because Allah, what the rizq you've given to me, the wealth you've given to me, you've given him, and you've given it according to my requirements, this was in my destiny. This is what I needed. If it was to be decreased, then the fasad would have come. If it was to go higher or lower, then fasad would come. And the doors of fasad, if it was more wealth, then for me, fasad doors would have opened up. So this was enough for me, for my requirements, and for that reason I'm happy, I'm at peace, I have no need for any more. So when the human being is happy and content with something, then he's got coolness in life, satisfaction in life. Contentment of a person is lost when he's not satisfied any time in life. You don't understand what I'm saying? If you people all are here, you've left your countries for this reason, that you wanted to become happy and at peace in your life. Say subhanAllah. Yes, there in your background, in your home countries, you weren't happy. I've got this problem, I ain't got this, I haven't got enough money, I've got this. Look at that person, he's gone foreign land, he's got more money, let's go to another country, we'll get this much money, this land, 2 plus 2, 4, then a chicken will come, then the eggs will come, then we'll get roasted chickens, then more roasted chickens, then we'll get sheep, from the sheep we'll get more animals, then we'll get camels, then we'll get more higher. So the Sheikh Chilli, you heard the Sheikh Chilli? We all Sheikh Chilli, one, then more. So you tell me now, the question arises that all the people who came here to become happy and at peace and contentment, how many are at peace now? Problems are there. Vast. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Am I right or wrong? So say subhanAllah then, isn't it? When I ask the question. And with regards to the hereafter, a human being is destroyed here. He sold himself in the society for money. It cannot be that what Rasulullah said in the hadith, the worst thing for an individual, the thing that is the worst for an individual that spoils your generations, spoils your families and yourself will be what? What will that thing be? Is? Sohbat, company. What great company your children are spending their time in. SubhanAllah, wow. What great company your children, what great teachings they're learning here. What great teachings. This, you will not be able to protect anything and protect, I'm saying very straightforward. Some people are upset with what I say. These are artificial defenses. People, if you can stop, you can try, but you cannot. Before today, 70 years ago, what I saw, 70 years before today, and what I'm seeing now, it's a storm. It's a storm around us. You cannot stop the storm, the typhoon. Say subhanAllah. Why? Because Allah's Nabi says, when he's made decision in the Quran and the Hadith, made decision, how can you go against that? Even today, if you say, if you announce that it's happening, yes, come, openly come, I think the whole of India and Pakistan will empty and everyone will run in. If the visa, everyone run, Maulvi, what Maulvi, everybody, lions and queues will form, come, let's go England, let's go England. And someone will say, I'm going to spread deen, someone will say, I'm going to learn zikr or teach zikr. Come on, let's go, dunya is there, success is there, let's all go. Am I right or am I wrong, tell me? Yes? One after the other, everyone run. It's just some days ago, I was out and somebody was very, feeling down. And I saw that he was upset, so my heart fell. I don't know why he's feeling down or he's upset, distressed. And that's my habit. I don't really know anybody. I didn't recognize him really. I just thought, I'm walking around. I thought I'd ask how he is and maybe he's upset. I said, you look very distressed. Where have you come from? And he looked at me. He said, I'm extremely distressed. How do you know? I said, I'm looking at your face. I can see you're down. He said, I'm from Pakistan. I've come from Pakistan. I said, when did you come? He said, just 2 nights I've been here. I said, 2 nights? Why are you upset then? I said. He said, £25,000 I gave to get this visa to come here. How much? £25,000, he said. Pakistan is probably, in terms of Arabs, rupees. And obviously he was a person, I thought maybe he's rich. I said, then what's the problem? He said, then I got this visa, I've spent £25,000. He said, it's been 2 days, no food, my wife, got no room, my child, no milk. I said, SubhanAllah. I said, that you came to Jannah, what's happened? That you thought you come into paradise, what's the issue now? So I'm just giving an example to you. My brothers, my colleagues, that why don't we do those actions that Rasulullah has prescribed to us? Why don't we take the Quran that is the real Quran, the guidance? And this is the dunya we're sat in, this world. But when we go a few feet down into the grave, then it'll be a more severe situation. There'll be no one to explain to us direct the consequences will come into the grave. On these points we're discussing now, the discussion that we're having now. This is not a minor discussion. The doors of Jahannam are open. Why did you run away from your land? Or for rizq? Was there another God there in that country? Was there another God in your home country? Would he not give you food in your home country? And he'll give you, oh, let's give up our generations and sell our children and our families. Finish the Quran. Why? Because Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that most of all the thing that destroys an individual is the company, the environment around him. Company Sala, the example of good company and the example of bad company. We've been told in the hadith that the good company for a human being makes him a good person. Subhanallah. The effect, the most valuable thing for a human being and the thing that changes a human being, remember this. The Quran is saying, قُولُوا مَا صَدَقِينَ, the factor that changes a human being and it will eliminate all your defects. That remember that whatever fragrance you stand in front of, that fragrance will permeate your clothes and your body. If you stand in front of a musk, you'll get the musk smell. If you go next to oud, then the oud smell. If you pick up the oud bottle, the oud fragrance come to you. If you pick up the chermeli bottle, then the chermeli will come to you. Oh, did you put this scent on? Whichever bottle you open, even if you don't apply it, the scent will come onto you. So such a person, if you sit next to such a person, subhanAllah, who's got all the good qualities and characteristics, then all the qualities and characteristics will be transferred to you. Why? Why? For this reason, that Allah sunnat ilahi, Allah has created the effect of good company will rub off onto you. So you tell me now, what are you teaching your children? How have they been brought up, your children? Where have they gone to, the children? Which hisab, what lifestyle are they running? Can anyone save them? Our offspring, the Quran has decided, the question doesn't arise, you can go against them. Thousands of hearts you can put the Quran into, but if their company is a waste of space, the morning till night they get a bad company, the question doesn't arise that the Quran will have an effect on them. You cannot do that. Sohbat, company, will extract all the goodness from a person. Burn it away from some generations, burnt away. Disbelievers, total. They will go against Iman. Lose the Iman. My brothers, this is an important factor to understand. That thing can never come back. Until today we're so happy when we see. But when we go, you'll realize when your hisab takes place, then we'll learn on that day. So it cannot be that the company, bad company, doesn't affect us. That the environment, the air that we are, the environment and even the climate changes a bit physically. Temperature affects the body. And when the cold comes, everyone starts jumpers on. When it gets hot, we take the jumpers off. So if the weather physically can affect us, then if Allah's Nabi has taught us that the physical company is the worst thing, then will that not affect us? And then if we give that, from the young age, that company, as soon as a child is born, we give that child a company, the rotten company. From the time the child is born, through the years and the decades, you give the rotten company. Then when that tree grows, what fruits will that tree give? Then what hard work will you do after that to try to force them off that track? You cannot save them then. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. So this is the society around us today. This is the society we're in today. Allah's Nabi has given us a solution. What is that? All the doors of problems will slam shut if we take the solution, which is to be at peace and be content. The biggest consequence is being content. That whatever position you're in life, be content and happy. Then say, Allah Ta'ala, your fadl, your grace, your blessing, whatever you've given to me, I'm happy. Even what you've given to me, I wasn't deserved of this. Whatever rizq you've given to me is a great rizq you've given to me. A great favor on me, the rizq and the wealth you've given to me. I'm happy with that, Allah. And alongside being content, the biggest quality comes into a human being, that he becomes a grateful servant of Allah, once he gets that. And those who are not content, who are not grateful, who are not satisfied, then he goes to the opposite side of the track. Opposite side of the spectrum is what? He goes away from the deen. What's opposite to the deen? Say loudly, what's opposite to deen? Is? Yeah? For example, let's take daylight. And light. What's the opposite to daylight? Is darkness. Darkness. Allah Ta'ala's given us this example. And what's the opposite to white? Is black. So everything in the dunya has an opposite. White has black, day has night. So same way, the opposite to contentment and peace is greed. The opposite end of the spectrum is greed. So what do you get in comparison to being at peace and happy? Is greed. Whoever is not content and not peace, he has got greed within him. So inside us, how will satisfaction and contentment come? We haven't done the action to generate that. I'll tell you the solution. So what do we all have inside us? We are all offsets of greed. And greed is the biggest defect that you can find. directed calls a person to Jahannam. A person who is greed, always worried about dunya and wealth and amassing things in ibadah, salah, fasting, hajj, reading Quran, reciting. Always he's got fikr. The person who's drowned in greed, he's always worried about dunya. He's not focusing on Allah and the hereafter. His hands are raising, his greed, doing dua, greed is there. Whatever action he's doing, whatever action, take any action, that look at any dua of Rasulullah. Did Rasulullah say, Allah, make me greed? Make me greedy? Greed is there. Want is there. Desires are there. And even Rasulullah did dua for having more. Shall I tell you that? Even for having more, Rasulullah did dua. He did said that do dua for greed, but ask for two things in terms of greed. What are they? The ilm of the hereafter, that Allah increase my ilm, the ilm of the hereafter. Be greedy for that. Allah's Nabi asked for that. That Ya Allah, give me masses of ilm for the hereafter. Be greedy for that, not for the dunya. Be greedy for those items and things that make your akhirah and give you hereafter and give you the nearness to Allah. Be greedy for them. What are those things? That Allah, make me a dhakir. Make me greedy in your dhikr. Be greedy for that. Do dua for that. Isn't it? That Allah, because I'm getting your nearness through that greed. I'm getting your nearness. So here, there is a dua for greed. For wanting more. But who are these greedy people? It's apparent in a person's deed. The opposite to satisfaction and contentment is a person's greedy. He has no fikr. He has fikr of the dunya, fikr of mal, fikr about his shops and businesses and shop business premises. Always. Always he's thinking, what shall I do? Where shall I go? How can I pass my life? How can I get status? What shall I do now? And in that fikr and concern, then he puts his hands in wrong places, wrong methods. He becomes sick. And as a mu'min, whatever aqeedah, only that happens what Allah Ta'ala wants. And even if you're worried or not worried, nothing will decrease in your destiny. Even if you all life, night long, sit up worried, even in that concern of wealth, not one penny will increase. Not that you're going to sit up all night long, you want to become wealthy, you get a good job. No, you'll get more sick. But you'll only get in your destiny what's written for you. You'll only get that much. It's not going to increase by sitting up all night worried about it. You're only going to get that amount that Allah Ta'ala is destined. So, contentment, being at peace. Do you understand our cure? So, what do we need to try to do in life is that we earn that satisfaction and contentment in life. That's the reason of all our discussion today. That class we've got today, consider there's some lesson that we draw. So all this effort I've made today is we learn this point, that all of us need to make effort that we can bring contentment into our lives. If we become content, that's such a big reward of Allah that we bring into our life, that all our concerns will evaporate. All our concerns will evaporate. All our worries and concerns and issues will evaporate, and we'll be happy on everything that Allah Ta'ala gives to us. We'll be happy and at peace. We'll be content, mutmain. We'll sleep with ease, we'll get up with ease, no worries, whatever's coming, we're happy. Alhamdulillah, we'll say. No problem whatsoever. And a person who doesn't do this, then Allah says, this was your problem. People are going, no umrah, then going again, then coming, then going again. One person's got no money. What does he do? Remember this point. A person who's not content, shall I tell you his defects, what he does, that person? He makes complaints. Who does he complain to? Allah. He gave, Allah gave to him, he didn't give to me. Allah's given him that much money. I'm not wealthy. I don't have money. They're going on Umrah. They're going on Hajj. I can't do nothing. I can't go. He starts complaining. Complaints don't finish. So it becomes a game for him. Comparison. Looking up at other people. Complaining to Allah. Making a fuss. He's got money. He's eating, drinking a life Allah's given into him. Then at least if you are content, you'd be grateful. But you've become greedy. Then he starts complaining and making a fuss and criticizing. A person who's complaining, making a fuss. Today is common. He says, oh, it's too hard. I can't make ends meet. Too many issues in my life. I can't pass my life smoothly and comfortably. I've got problems and issues. Where have they come from? If he's not saying it, then it's embedded in his heart. He's thinking about it. He's miserly and stingy and he's complaining. And then he's saying it in his heart. And always he's thinking, I can earn from here, I can earn from X, Y, Z. Let me do this and let me do that. Planning. And he's not telling anyone inside. He's buried all the negative thoughts inside. So what does he do? He's worried about those issues and problems. What shall I do? Complaining and making a fuss. Everything he starts to complain and criticize. Problem upon problem. He creates problems. So what is this? What is it in reality? That inside he's boiling up inside. Inside he's destroyed that person. So now he's complaining to Allah, why am I not getting this thing? Why am I not getting what I want? Why have I got problems? Why not other people? Why is Allah Ta'ala not giving me solutions? So when a person complains and makes a fuss to Allah, what does he? Then he goes on the wrong track. And he loses iman. And the mu'min, with a mu'min, there's no complaints. No criticizing. With a believer, he is happy and at ease. And he praises Allah, a mu'min. Allah, I'm grateful until today you give me this much and I wasn't even worthy of this. Allah, it's your karam, your grace. It's your big favor upon me, Allah. That this much I've got of earned. For example, he started looking for a job, he got some employment, maybe the salary was less. Alhamdulillah, this is good. That at least I've got something. But the person, oh Allah, he's got a better job. If you give me more salary, what was he going to get? He was going to get that same employment. So being at peace and being content is such a great status that it eliminates all problems from a person's life. Takes him out of all the challenges and issues. Tell me. So that insan who doesn't have contentment, is not at peace and not satisfied, then he becomes a weird person. Just walking around and he's empty, that person. Empty. So being content. Being content. So now we see that how can we bring this into our lives? Number one. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? He didn't say that start practicing contentment and satisfaction. Ask Allah for this. That's what he said. Because that dua, when you do dua, then this means that it's not in your control. It's not through your efforts that you can get this. It's not in your control. It's not through your efforts that you're going to get contentment. And it's outside of your power, beyond your power. It's only Allah who can give this to you. So ask from Allah. That Allah, go to Allah. And first and foremost, that Allah Ta'ala, say Allah, you are the one who gives. Allah, take me out of this conundrum, out of this vicious cycle. Allah, give me the ability to ask you. Take me out of debt. Take me away from borrowing or loans. Allah, protect me in my life. And protect me from all of the hazards regards to wealth. You are the one who can save. But Allah, give me the satisfaction feeling that I'm at ease. So first request you must present in whose court to attain contentment? Who do we ask from? From Allah. Ask to Allah. Utilize the du'as. So keep on thinking that today, Allah, what dua am I going to make to Allah? What supplication? I'm going to pray salah when I pray fard salah. And Allah's Nabi has said that after every fard salah, Allah accepts the dua. Why don't we believe in this? Why don't we believe in this? That why do we just leave it to Mulana Sahib? He keeps on doing duas and we look silent in his face. Tell me. Then why don't you do dua after your salah? Yes, he hasn't got kashf Mulana Sahib, that what's in your heart, what you need. He's just doing a general dua. Alhamdulillah, he's asking dua. He's saying the right thing and we're doing ameen. That's correct. But in your heart, you have something that you want to ask Allah. He doesn't know the imam. You only know that. Okay, so if you do dua with him collectively, he's raised his hands, you said ameen. After that, then at least you request that dua for that those things that you need, say subhanallah. Yes, at least request those duas, those things that you need, but you just wipe your hands on your face. Then after that, Allah will say, you are a weird person. The one thing you needed, you had the demand for that. You were sent to my home. You did the action, salam. After that, my Habib Sazam said that your dua will be accepted after salam. You don't ask for dua. For this reason, you don't have yaqeen in me that I will give you what you need. You don't have yaqeen. That reason is stated, that person who doesn't do dua to me, Allah says, he's a mutakabbir, proud insan. Inside he's proud, he's feeling, he doesn't have yaqeen in his Rabb, that's why he's not doing dua at that time. He just thinks that, oh, I will get through my efforts. Then when he leaves the house of Allah after that, he'll do the same actions and he'll get what he needs. You don't understand what I'm saying? Otherwise, such a great action, Allah has called you to his house and told us, given us the time, after salah, ibadah, even then you don't do the action that we need to do dua, for the things we need in life, then the first you should make a list. I need X, Y, Z, A, B, C. I need to ask for these things from Allah. And Allah, for a time, He's given us a ajeeb example that you can't do nothing. You can't earn anything yourself. You have to ask everything from me. Even if it's the shoelaces for your shoes, you have to ask me, Allah says. Even if the laces for your shoes, the pious Peter says, say, if your heart feels that I need to go and drink coffee and have biscuits with that, do dua for the coffee and the biscuits. That Allah, my heart feels right now, I'm tired, I've done dhikr Allah, and I want a good coffee and a good biscuit, and Allah, I'm asking so I can get peace. I swear by Allah, you will enjoy after that when you get the coffee. I swear by Allah, you'll enjoy when you get the coffee and the biscuits after that. And we think we don't need to ask for these things. Such a big thing you've asked for. You'll get peace and rest, and you'll feel sleepy after that, and you'll get a nice drowsy feeling, and you'll do good dhikr. Remember, the things that Allah gives, they come from paradise. And the things that the coffee your wife makes, it just comes from there, from the kitchen. It will just come from the kitchen. What your wife gives, the coffee, say subhanAllah. But when you ask Allah for the dua, and Allah gives you, do you understand what I'm saying? These small solutions I give, just practice them inshallah. Whatever you feel like, you're feeling hungry, Allah, I feel like I want the meat with spinach, a nice hot chapati. Is this not wrong to ask Allah for these things? Because the desires of the human being are present. And Allah, if you present your desires to Allah, Allah will give you pure food and drink. Try and ask. Ask for good things. Allah, I feel like my heart, that I have a nice car, and when I look at that, oh Allah, if I want a nice watch, when I look at the watch, it gives me the right time. Just ask, Allah, maybe I have a need, maybe I don't have a need, but my heart feels like I want it. And jais halal for you, that thing will become. Jais and halal, it's not a sin for you, that's not a desire of the dunya, it's just from your Rabb, your Lord, your Creator, you're asking. It's not a haram action you're doing, you're just asking Allah to give it to you. But this desire is inside you, ask Allah. Even if you don't get it, no problem. You know, I can't get married. Allah, give me a nice wife, a good wife. Just like you like and prefer, whenever you want Allah, keep on asking, inshallah, that good wife will come. Even if she doesn't come, inshallah, you will feel every day like you've got married that day. Subhanallah. Even if your whole life passes, because you're trusting Allah. You say, no Allah, that even if all my life I don't get married, but Allah, if I don't get married, then you are for me and I'm for you. Even if that woman doesn't come to my life. Subhanallah, Allah likes such a servant so much. Many pious predecessors of the past, they didn't get married. They didn't know that they didn't want to get married. Allah Ta'ala just didn't give them the partner. Allah Ta'ala didn't enable them to get married. It wasn't Allah's ijazah. Allah Ta'ala didn't select that wife for them. So the enjoyment is that the servant of Allah should give his all to Allah. If I don't get married, then most definitely it's your choice and that is the benefit for me. But don't make complain and cry. I'm just giving an example. I ask for forgiveness. If it fits somebody, then this example, then I'm not speaking to you directly. I'm not particularly addressing anybody. We're speaking about somebody. Maybe there's somebody in between who's married or not married. Maybe. So every feeling and emotion, Allah has given us a solution, the doors, that you can complete your desires by asking from me directly. Whatever jais desire you have, I will complete that, Allah says. Say subhanAllah. So why do you do wrong actions? Why do you go out to other people asking for things? Whatever your heart feels, Allah says, ask me. Water, ask for me. Coke, ask for me. Whatever you need in life, ask for me. I'll give to you in advance, Allah says. I'll give to you before you even need it. So being content, who should we ask from? First and foremost, what do we need to do? Whatever you ask from Allah, you'll get. Now, what's the time for asking to Allah? If you have more need for contentment, I say there's no greater wealth than being at peace and satisfied. Our whole deen is based on being content. Remember this. Remember this. Our whole deen is based on being content, to be satisfied with what Allah has given to us. Our whole deen is based on this, the success of our deen. Morning till night, soon as the day breaks, we're happy with Allah. When the night falls, we're happy with Allah. When you're leaving this world, radiyallahu an, Allah, we're happy with you. Radiyatan mardiyah, the words are coming. Allah says, I'm happy with you and you're happy with me. I'm pleased with you and you're pleased with me. What a great achievement, being content. And when do we ask for this big result? What's the best time? Tahajjud time is the best time. So, if you ask Allah for being satisfied, you've earned the rizq. Everything you've asked from Allah, if you ask Allah, Allah make me content. Allah make me the person who is content. If you ask Allah for this, you are the most wealthiest of people. With that yaqeen, if you ask at that time, you will attain that. So what's the first step? Dua. Pray to Allah. So how does Allah Ta'ala give? How does Allah make a person content? Satisfied. This is all mashallah coming now. What I'm telling you, as I said, did you understand what I'm saying? That automatically these thoughts are coming in my heart and I'm sharing them with you. It's your choice whether you practice this or not. It's your choice. It's your choice. If you like it, do it. Otherwise, leave it. So being content. You've asked Allah for this. Being satisfied. So the sunnah of Allah is such, the dua method is that after asking Allah, when you do dua to Allah, then you make an effort to attain that thing you've asked for. You adopt the resources, because this dunya, Allah has given us means and resources. Allah give me food, Allah give me food, Allah give me food. You're asking from Allah. After that, what do? Allah says, I've accepted your dua. Now you are individual. You need to now adopt the means, the permissible means to get that food. You understand what I'm saying? For example, you say, Allah give me children, Allah give me children, Allah give me children. Then have you got married? So what this means is that Allah allow me to get married. After I get married, give me awlad, give me children. Yes, so physically you've asked Allah for the offspring, children. And maybe we're talking a lot about marriage today. I don't know what's the reason for this. So anyway, the children come into this, family comes into this. So until you don't get married, so you have to use the means Allah has given in the dunya. Use the means, so Allah gives you the wife, you get married, then you'll have the awlad. So dua means, doesn't mean this, that you just give up and sit down, cross your legs and give up. No. If Allah wants to, we've got full yaqeen that without even the means, without doing anything, Allah gives, but it's the sunnah of Allah, that Allah says, ask me, and after asking me in the dunya, you adopt the means to attain what you've asked Allah for. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So now we've asked Allah that we can become content. So the first thing to become content, we do dua to Allah, we pray to Allah. Then that contentment won't come. After that, to attain that satisfaction, you need to implement the means in the dunya to get that end result. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Understand the point? I know I'm repeating it. After that, you must implement and adopt the means to get that result you want, so you can become content. Otherwise, you can never be happy, satisfied. Remember this. This is not our position that you just do dua and give up. So if you don't adopt the means, then bilkul 100% you will become greedy, and the defects of greed will be in your life. The person who's making effort, alhamdulillah, then he will attain the satisfaction and happiness in his life. Dua. Step number one. Okay, if you can't get up at the Hajj time, at least the rest of the day you pray salah, don't you? You do dua after that salah. Maybe it doesn't mean that if you don't wake up at the Hajj, you don't do the dua. No, still ask this dua after every salah. Do this dua. Do tasbih for this. Allah give me kanat, Allah give me rizq, Allah give me satisfaction, Allah give me satisfaction and contentment in my rizq. Brilliant tasbih. Do this dua as a tasbih. Say subhanallah. Now, so we adopt the means to get the contentment in life. So let me come to the real point. So look, what points are coming in my mind? I'm sharing them with you, subhanAllah. Systematically, our discussion, it follows a system. So now, then what are the means we have to adopt and practice to attain that feeling of contentment? Everything has a means, isn't it? Every end has a means. So I'm hungry. So to eliminate the hunger, what's the means? I have to go to the shop and say, give me some flour, give me some rice, give me some bread, give me some dal. These are the means, aren't they? I'll bring them home, I'll cook the food, I'll eat the food, I'll utilize the food to eliminate the hunger, isn't it? You understand the example? So we got the asbab, the means. You adopt the means, that's why all these shops are running. For example, you take your necessities, you fill up the bags, and you cook, and you fill your stomach, you go to sleep. So the objective is to eliminate the hunger from the stomach. That's why we go to the grocery shop. Otherwise, why would you go to the grocery shop? If you're not hungry, will you go to the grocery shop to buy items? No, you won't go, isn't it? So the means, you adopt the means, and you cook, and you eat, and get rid of the hunger. So to get the feeling of contentment, you need to adopt the means. So what is the tariqah, the method to be content? Okay, let's go to the shop. Can we buy satisfaction and happiness in the shops? Is there any shop, grocery shop, go to the guy at the till and say, can I, here's £5, can you make me feel content? Oh no, £100, here's £100. Let's go to the big shop. Even if you give £500, say it's necessary, essential, but you can't get the feeling of happiness and satisfaction from that dukan. So understand the point. All the needs of the stomach, all of the needs of the stomach, physically you can buy the food, say subhanallah. All the bodily requirements in the dunya, you can buy items and fulfill the physical requirements in the dunya. But whatever is connected to the ruh, the spirit, the soul, whatever is connected to the ruh, the spirit, the soul, you cannot buy the means for the ruh, the soul in the dunya. Nowhere in the world can you go to the store and buy anything to make you feel content. Because the connection of the ruh is with the hereafter and to the heights, to the heavens, with Allah. So it will only come from Allah. So to become content is not related to your stomach. It's not related to your body. It's not related to your hand, connected to your eye, to your body, your bodily limbs. No, the being content is connected to your heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? Being content and satisfied is connected to what? It's connected to the heart. So where will you buy the groceries for the heart? Where is the shop for the heart? It's the Wali Allah, it's the company of the Awliya Allah. You must go there. Their shops are open. Their learning centers are open. Say Alhamdulillah. They also have stores. They also give grocery items. They also open and close. They also have a sale, a bonus. And they also call out to you. They also announce and call and have speakers. And such a shop that it never closes, that store. It never closes. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. So go there to the store of the Waliya, give me a teaching so I can be content, get the greed out of my life, get the pride out of my life, give me this tablet to eliminate pride or hasad or envy or greed. All solutions are there, he will give you the solutions, the Waliya Allah. Have you ever gone to the store of the Waliya Allah Sheikh to ask? No. We say we have no need. What big danger we are in this moment in time. Big, big danger. Look at this. I'm giving you this statement, a big statement. The human being, he has all characteristics in his life. We are a collection of characteristics and qualities and skills. And this is a big skill and big quality of being content. Massive quality is being content and happy. The big qualities that Allah Ta'ala has embedded in the human being. If these qualities, if you take them out of the human being, and if they're not present, then he is worse than the animals, that human being. If you take the characteristics, positive and qualities out of the human being, he's worse than a human being, worse than animals. He looks like a human being, but he's a dangerous animal that even you can't get the dangers from an animal that you get the dangers from the human being. But all those qualities and characteristics, if he revives them, refreshes them, and makes them flower, he becomes such a great human being that the angels descend to do musafa and say salam to the human being. Subhanallah. So two opposites that a human being can achieve. If he revives the qualities and positive characteristics and brings them out into fruition that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught to us, that Allah Ta'ala has instilled into us, and that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught to us, and if he revives them, polishes them, then he becomes a great human being. Ahsani taqweem, Allah says in the Quran. Ahsani taqweem. Excellent example, he becomes that human being. Ahsani taqweem. Such a big, great human being. And if that human being, he becomes falls prey to greed and hasad and envy and dhulam and oppression, and he becomes a wasteful person, then he's like a ball of fire and he's burning that person. And what are that person's hajj? What is the zakat of that person? That he's got boogers and he's got malice inside him and kibr inside him and envy inside him, riya and pretense. And you say, I've got not got this inside me, how can this be? It's impossible. If you say that, have you extracted these diseases? Have you gone to the store of the Wali Allah? Have you done the cure? Oh no, I haven't done this. Then how will you eradicate these diseases from inside? What a big deception of shaitan today. Big deception of shaitan. One are physical illnesses and you'll run to the physician. Oh, and you got the flu. Why don't you go to the doctor? We say this, don't we? Oh, if you still got a cold, why don't you go to the GP? Why didn't you go to the doctor for many days? You got a cough, why haven't you gone to the doctor? You got a flu, a runny nose. Why don't you go to the Hakim, we say to people. Did you not go to the physician? Why don't we say that? We say that to people. But has anyone said today, inside me I've got pride? Have you gone to Wali Allah? Does anyone say this? You've got hasad, envy. Have you taken the cure from the Wali Allah? Or you're a zalim, oppressor. Have you taken the cure from the Wali Allah? I'll say, no, I don't have these problems. He says, you're sick. No. If he's sneezing and he says, I don't have a flu. If he's doing dhulam and he says, I'm not an oppressor. He's got riya, pretense. He says, I'm not pretending. He's got takabbur, pride. He says, I'm not mutakabbir today. People refuse. What's the problem? Because shaitan has broken the mirror that was in front of us and he's turned the face of that person, the direction of that person towards his wretchedness. Yes, if somebody is going to the physician, spiritual physician and he's given you the cure and you're trying, you're taking the capsules, you're taking the medicine, you're taking the tablets and you're trying. That's good. What a big learning. Do you understand what I'm saying? The essential point that we've got big sicknesses within us and I say though, I'm not a sick person. I haven't got diseases inside me. So the solution for the spiritual inner diseases is to be content, to become content. First we do dua. After doing dua, we go to the means. And what's the means to become content? Is the company, the store of the wali Allah, the teacher, the spiritual teacher. We must go to him. Then what will happen? When you go to the store of the wali Allah, to the premises of the wali Allah, what will that wali Allah do with the student? The sheikh will carry out the process with that student. Yeah, he has no dunya, worldly attachment with the student. Then that teacher, the sheikh, who is concerned for his student, for the hereafter, not worldly concern, he will do tazkiyah of the student. He will purify the student. Tazkiyah. The sheikh will follow the process of tazkiyah with the student. They're consultants, you could say. The sheikh, the wali Allah, is a consultant of tazkiyah. He analyzes and inspects the inner state of his student. And he extracts those diseases spiritual from the student. Takes time, takes years maybe to extract the diseases. Takes decades, maybe 30 years and that disease is still inside. Backbiting's not eradicated after 30 years still. The backbiting doesn't get eliminated. And backbiting, if you really look at that person, the human being, the student, that there's no worse sin or disease inside a person than backbiting. Quran has explained the danger of backbiting and how many people are solving the disease of backbiting. Tell me, one individual came and he had the desire to improve. He wanted to improve. He had a passion. Obviously, alhamdulillah, there's a good person. He came to me. I said, okay, fine. So I said, okay, what you do is the first sin, let's take the first sin. You know when we make the sheet system, we select, they have the sin sheet. This is the work we're doing. So I said, okay, let's select the first sin. What sin that we're going to eradicate? And he said, you tell me. I said, you tell me yourself. He said, look here. He said, I can't see anything that I do wrong. I said, is it? I said, okay, let me select a sin then. He said, yes, please. I said, maybe it's not inside you, but let's try on this sin. That you are just going to fill the sheet, isn't it? You got no sins anyway, so it doesn't make any difference. I said, let's select backbiting then. He said, tell me some other sin. Forget backbiting. Look at this. Yes, we are all like that. We think we're devoid of issues. He said, backbiting is nothing. It's a piece of cake. He said, no, that's not a problem. He said, okay, let's 40 days. Just going to tick the sheet. It's just a chill. I said, just do it, inshallah. You will enhance and improve. Until today's been a year and his backbiting hasn't come out of his life. A year has passed. Until today he's just fighting that one sin. So they hidden, embedded, deep fi kulubhim marada, fasadahum marada, Allah says. The kufr, nifaq, hypocrisy, all connected to this. With the heart. And kibr, pride is embedded. We don't want to say to anyone that we're showing off, or we're full of pride. Haughtiness is embedded inside us, buried. In every single individual, you can recite the Quran Sharif, give speeches, have a big speech now when it finishes, and the sheikh's being praised. The speaker, why are you praising him? Take the benefit from the teacher. Nobody came to get benefit. Alhamdulillah, there's a lot of benefit, mashallah. Many people have come. But in this day and age, we're in such an era, my friends. Why is there destruction around us? Why is there destruction? Because we are full of the sins, nifaq, shirk, everything's embedded within us. And we don't want the cure for this. We don't want the cure for our defects. Allah hasn't slammed the doors. Until Qiyamah, Allah has kept the doors open. This technique and process of tazkiyah. Qiyamah will not come until the walis of Allah present the world. And the walis of Allah will keep on announcing. Because they were sent by Allah, the walis of Allah, to improve society. Yes, the Nabi is not going to come now. No prophet's going to come. No messenger is going to come. The walis of Allah here. So brothers, colleagues, understand this point. There's no hard work. What's the drought today? And what's the source of our destruction? Is that nobody works hard on his inner state. And dhikrullah, which is the first step of tazkiyah, the biggest capsule that the wali Allah gives to his student, where he starts his cure, that how much do we practice dhikr of Allah? How much effort do we do on dhikr of Allah? And what do we understand is the status of dhikr of Allah? Imamul Anbiya, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his blessed tongue statement, what does he say with regards to dhikrullah? Akdur dhikrullah hatta yakunu indal majnoon. That keep doing dhikr. This is hadith. That with regards to no worship did I hear this statement from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have, then you can tell me. I don't say that I'm learned and stuff, but I've not read anywhere in my life a statement. If you have heard about any worship action that the Prophet ﷺ said, do more. Wahid dhikrullah, Rasulullah ﷺ said that do so much dhikr kathir in abundance that the people consider you mad crazy that you're doing so much dhikrullah. That's how much dhikr you should do. So I speak from the experience of my life that Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, that in your Sahaba Ikram, that we're in such a dirty environment now, was this the same until Qiyamah? Allah Ta'ala will create people that they do so much dhikr that people will say that they're crazy. Those jamaats will come, human beings will be born. This hadith will continue till Qiyamah. Yes, this is not a special country or land. In every place in the world, country Allah will send a person and they will teach dhikr. They say, what are these mad people? They just keep doing, talking about dhikr and doing dhikr. And from their mouths, they will keep talking about dhikr of Allah. Because Rasulullah has taught us this. That what a great standard he made apparent of dhikrullah. And tell me today, how much do we work hard on dhikrullah? Tell me, how much dhikr do we do? That we have no status and no appreciation of dhikr. And there, Rasulullah ﷺ gave a high level status to the action of dhikrullah. That any action you do in the dunya, are we mad that we do so much dhikrullah? Are we crazy? Are we doing it for nothing? High level, Rasulullah ﷺ intensely explained that you must do dhikrullah wherever you are, whenever in your life, when you do dhikr, only then inside you, you'll be clean and pure, otherwise you can't. And as the generations become more impure, and the feeling of satisfaction, it gets reduced, and greed increases, and lalach increases, only one action can save us, dhikrullah. Only through dhikrullah can we be saved. Subhanallah. So it's not tasbih. Not through tasbih can you get success. No. Not tasbih. Aktharu dhikrullah. Do so much dhikr. Do so much dhikr. That people think you're crazy and mad. But the shops are open. Allah sent his awliya Allah. Their stores are there. Their premises there. Is the shop of dhikr closed? No. The store is open. The teaching center is there. So if people come here with greed and dunya, Allah says, no worries, you've arrived and even here, despite your greed of the dunya, even then I'll prepare a solution for you. The person who prepared this solution had never seen England, never seen Europe, and he had even seen the city of Dera Ghazi Khan. From Gadai Sharif, he gave instruction, go to that land and teach dhikr of Allah and make the people's hearts alive. And dhikr, subhanAllah, when this fakir came towards dhikr, how many people were with me at that time? When dhikr was initiated, I was alone, I had just my bag. Allah's wali gave me the instruction, he ordered me, nobody knew me here. And not this, that I came with a big jamaat, big assembly people, or so many people knew me. And look at this kamal, look at this achievement. I had no status, no recognition. That he's a big alim, scholar, or he's a faqih, or a jurist, or he's a muhaddith, I'll go to the masjid and give a speech and everyone will come. No! Such a person that there was no one to give salam to me. But Allah demonstrates that my deen, my religion, what I want to spread, the deen that I want to spread in society, then I don't depend on people. Allah says, whoever I select, I'll spread the deen via that individual. Subhanallah. There's no condition for my spreading the deen. Allah says that he has to be a highly educated and known person. Whoever I select, I'll select him. Go stand and call out and spread the deen amongst the people, Allah says. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. This is Allah's miracle. Allah's achievement. Allah doesn't spread deen through people's thoughts and their methods and plans. No, Allah says, I spread my deen. I select the individuals to spread my deen, Allah says. It's Allah's choice who he selects. That's it. And Allah's proven that today. Hazrat Sahib said to me, I said, Hazrat Sahib, where are you sending me? I have no qualities. Hazrat Sahib said to me, you lead Jummah Salah as well. I said, Hazrat, me? I have not even an imam. I have no masjid. Which masjid? Where shall I lead Jummah? Who shall I address? Hazrat Sahib said, go until the evening. Until the evening, make sure you go. So tell me, nobody knew me. Nobody knew me. Nobody identified me. Nobody was with me. I was so ashamed that this man, a new beard just coming out on his chin. Yes, he's just done a postgraduate MSc from university, and he comes back here and says, I'm a Peer Sheikh. They said he must be the biggest fraudster. Well, not people say this. Think they must say he's mad, this man. Who's he saying? Where have you studied from? Which Darul Uloom do you study? No, no, I don't even know the names of Darul Uloom. Oh, he's a thief. Where did this man come from? What was here? That when a person selected by Allah, what happened here? I swear by Allah, it was a ajeeb, weird situation. But Hazrat Sahib selected. Whilst I was coming, I said to people, come, let's do dhikr. And before I arrived there, that individual, we sat there ready to do dhikr. I was alone. I said, what's happened? I said, will you do dhikr? He said, what dhikr? I said, I do dhikr in the evening. He said, yeah, we'll come as well in the evening. 5 days, my room was full of dhakirin. Subhanallah. Within 5 days, haq. When there's haq, no ishtihar, no advertisement, no calling out. I had no status, no one knew me. I was ashamed saying to people, how shall I say to people? I was just pulled myself together due to Hazrat's instruction. I have to tell, Hazrat ordered me. I said, salam alaikum alaikum. You know, we do dhikr in the evening. Dhikr? Only peers do dhikr. Who are you? They said to me. Falana peer, there's this peer, this sheikh, ready-made peers off the shelf. Who are you? There's a person that evening. This. Who are you? They said to me. Who are you? Where have you come from? Can anyone ask? Can anyone answer? But on my saying, so much effect, so much nuraniyat, so much light, so much passion, that people immediately would succumb and come. Until today, no person has complained, why have we come? Who are you to call me? Which peer are you? Who are you, a sheikh? Who gave you order? Who's your teacher? The question doesn't arise. Whoever's invited immediately comes and sits and succumbs. And Subhanallah, I said, what's going on here? Oh, I got afraid and scared. I say to people and they just come, they respond. They respond. Thursday night, after 5 days were left, and on Thursday night, the room was full. Allah, what's happening here? That I haven't even told that many people. So many people came. After some days, we had to have a khanka made to hold the people. Khanka. And people started shouting, who's this peer? He's a thief. He's got khanka. No one had heard in Europe before that. What's a khanka? The first khanka in Europe of Hazrat Sahib's was the khanka in Manchester. As a Hazrat Sahib, that there's no building, has become a khanka now. What shall I do with this? I said, what's the name? What name shall I keep? And Hazrat Sahib wrote back to me, that select the name Khanka Naqshbandiya Mujaddadiya. I said, shall we put the board up? Hazrat Sahib, yeah, put the board up. We thought, put the board up. And people are amazed, what's this khanka? What's this? That nobody knew here in this country what's a khanka. What's this board here? What's this place? That when Allah selects, why am I giving you this example? It's not that I'm praising myself, spreading my name or proving a point. I'm trying to explain Allah's miracle. When Allah's deen spreads, it spreads. Allah needs no one's prior permission. No one can stop it. Nobody can stop it. Deen is haq. Deen is truth. Everything that comes from Allah is truth. And that thing that Allah Ta'ala wants to spread, that deen that Allah Ta'ala wants to spread, you'll be surprised to hear. That no type of money, taka, no money was spent. Automatically these things were being formulated and spread. Where did money come to us? Where did the money come? No one did we dare to ask anyone, tell anyone, nothing at all, no announcement, no collection. But the gathering keeps on multiplying and increasing and then multiplying. So what can I tell you? What events can I tell you? So the point I'm coming to again is that how much we lack that desire, how much effort do we make? Tomorrow we'll have to give big answer, oh people of Bolton, remember this, that Allah's ni'mas, Allah gifts, if we reject them, normal, common, Allah says that when you reject my ni'mas, how many ni'mas of mine will you reject? Which favors of mine will you reject? La ta'dudu, immense, immense favors Allah has given to us. Is there any greater treasure than deen? Is there any greater treasure than the dhikr of Allah? That all the whole deen is wrapped in dhikrullah. Have we not read this hadith? That if your heart is correct, your salah is correct. If your heart is correct, then your hajj is correct. If the flesh of your heart is correct, your tafsir is correct. If your heart is correct, your hadith teaching is correct. If your heart is a waste, everything in your deen is a waste. Everything depends on the heart. Is this not hadith? Tell me. Everything based on the heart. this piece of flesh inside you, your heart is correct, your prayer mat is correct, your prostration is correct, your salah is correct, your recitation is correct, your speech is correct, your hadith is correct, your Quran knowledge is correct, your tarabi is correct. If your heart is spoilt and is black, then your whole deen is black and spoilt. Nothing is there. For the dunya you do lots, but in terms of Allah's court, you have nothing to present. Why? Allah says, when you return to me thereafter, you need to come to me with qalbin saleem, a heart at peace. And if your Quran, Allah said, come to me with Quran, not a good salah, not a good hajj, not a good zikah. One thing Allah sealed, whoever has qalbin saleem, he presents to me on the day of judgment, then all of his deni will be correct. So you have to work hard to make the qalb saleem. As a Baqi Billah, rahmatullah alayh, who came to India, from where? He did hijrah from Afghanistan, he came to Delhi when this silsila, he came to India from Hazrat Baqi Billah. He came from Afghanistan, Hazrat Baqi Billah, rahmatullah alayhi, he migrated to India. Because Allah Ta'ala selects and presents the deen. And just like I came from Dera Ghazi Khan and I came, and this silsila spread. To spread. You saw the colors, the ijtama, you saw the effect of the deen. So did I knock on people's doors to call them? Do we go out, knock on the doors? MashaAllah. So this is called spreading the deen. Not we spread the deen, Allah spreads the deen. Yes, Allah establishes the deen. Allah Ta'ala, He overwhelms the people. Allah says, I show you, come through this person, learn the dhikr of Allah and improve your life. Allah Ta'ala shows the hujjat, His signs in society. Allah says, is this the person that... has he got the strength to do this? Who is doing all this? So many people are coming to the gathering. Who? So many people come to the gathering, respond. How their hearts are come. The people, our people did the work, alhamdulillah, in 1 week. Those people, they lost their sleep. You don't know how they're sleeping, how they're alive. They worked hard. They made effort. Tell me, how did this passion come? Where did this passion come from? Why did they give up their days and their nights? Where does this all come from? Why? Because Allah Ta'ala utilizes them for His deen. And they're being, mashallah, their life is being used for the deen. I don't say you do this, you do that personally. Did I say anything to anyone? You stand up now, put your hands up and tell me. Did I tell you to do that work of the deen for the gathering istima? No, they do it with their love, with their passion. I don't ask, did you do anything or not? Such love, passion, just, where does it come from? The thousands of people are coming and being looked after at that time. And with such love and passion they're doing this. Why? Affectionately. Because will they not have a darja? Allah Ta'ala selected them to spread the deen. Look at this. And the dunya is praising them. MashaAllah, such a preparation the people of Bolton did. What a great gathering. How did you prepare this? How did it come about? Look at this. So this is the point. So Hazrat Baqi Billah, rahmatullah, he came to Hindustan, the Indian subcontinent. Now I was talking about effort, working hard. How much you have to do hard work. You can't just change the hearts by not doing nothing. You have to make effort. From China, one individual walking by foot used to come to Hazrat Sahab's Khanqah. He used to present himself, then he'd go by walking. Then he'd go back all his life long. Coming from China to Hazrat Sahab Baqi Billah, where's Delhi? Then back to China. Then from China to Delhi, then back to China. All life long, working hard. It's company of his sheikh. But we don't have yakin that zikr is anything. Or zikr is bidah. Someone says waste of time. Someone says a fraud. Or you're just making noise. Why are you doing zikr? What difference does it make? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Doubts. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that you should be doing so much zikr that people think you're crazy doing zikr. This is, we have rust on our hearts. Our hearts are black like coal. We don't understand deen. We don't utilize the means to purify our hearts and our lives. That qalb, that heart, Allah says your whole deen depends on your heart. We don't make effort to protect our hearts, to improve our hearts, to clean us. How will we improve our deen if our hearts are not correct? Tell me. Tell me the solution then. How will our hearts be improved? Tell me. How? Can it automatically just transcend, become white and smooth? For only through that medicine can you, only through that capsule, only the capsules that Allah Ta'ala has formulated to clean the heart, only by consuming them. Otherwise, no other medicine will improve the heart. Yes, it's the principle of life. Otherwise, that for every medicine you can take medicines and potions and medicines and syrups. Allah says, Allah Sheikh, you go to the doctor, what's your symptoms, what's the temperature, what's your feelings, according to the characteristics, the doctor physician will give you medicine when you go to the GP or the doctor. So, same way, the physician, the consultant, the Sheikh, Allah has given medicines, but to make the heart, to formulate the heart, Allah has given a hukam to the capsule I've given, then you must utilize that capsule, that medicine, in abundance. Because there are fitna kathir around us. There are enemies kathir around us. the mahol, the environment, the fear around us. Don't be scared. Don't give up. Keep using the medicine. You'll revive your heart and your life and your deen. SubhanAllah. It's your job to consume the medicine. Allah says, my job to give you the life. Allah Ta'ala, who does this? So should we do dhikr or not? Tell me. Should we be doing dhikr or not? Yes. Is that enough? Are we working hard, making effort to do dhikr? Are we sacrificing time in our life? With our lives, our hearts, our bodies, give your sacrifice. I'm going to the hereafter. Allah, if my heart's not right, well, with half my salah. The heart should be polished clean. And if your feeling and contentment doesn't come in your heart, then come and complain to me. Yes, yeah, so if you don't do dhikr, if you don't have love, then where will the contentment come? Make your heart at peace, satisfied, content. Allah, whatever rizq you've given, I'm happy with it, Allah. And what's happiness? Be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. Be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. Yes, we're having a few pieces of bread, a mud shack you're living in. Allah, I'm happy with what you've given to me. Grateful servant of Allah. Everything Allah you've got, oh yaar, he's rich, he's got a big house, he's got two floors, he's got two shops, now he's got three shops. I want four. He's got five shops now, I want more than that. Oh, ooh, let's make a house, a mansion in Pakistan, and this country as well. And let's have assets in this country as well. Look at the comparison. Is that second person better? Or the first person? And he's earning a little bit and he's happy, content. He's got a broken down house and just a few dry pieces of bread. He's mutmain, happy, content. SubhanAllah, you give me everything. Tell me. Nawab Sahib, there was a big man, true event, in Lucknow, India. Big pension, palace, he had servants, big car, everything, and he was near the banks of the river, in Lucknow, near the banks of the river, big mansion, rich man, wealthy, Nawab Sahib. And who was envious of him? The greedy people. Oh, big palace, look at his mansion, mashallah. This is the people of the third sector, who just look up to the wealthy people. Look how big shops he's got today. Oh, he's got, yeah, look at our kismet, bad destiny, our children, they're suffering. Complain, oh, he's gone England, subhanAllah, Allah Shan, he sent him to England, he's making money, he's got the visa on his passport. Crying and complaining. Yes, that, for example, though they come with a visa, even then they don't get a job and they're consuming haram after that. Don't know how much he's going to consume haram, how much sood and riba he's going to lie and commit fraud. We don't know how much he's going to sell his deen, how much salah he's going to leave, how much faraid he's going to give up, how many sunnats he's going to kill. Ooh, from thousand miles away, ooh, he's come here to earn. This is the status of our life today. This is the situation of our life today. But what's their hal? Those people who say, remember the first status? Sector number one, how wealthy? Yes, and but even the most wealthy person, he's not happy, he's not content, he's not satisfied. Both ends of the spectrum. So what's the hal of that person? He's got no food. Doctor said to him, you can't eat. Yes, you've got a disease, sickness, but you can do one thing. Just take a bit of dalia, a bit of wheat, grind it down, put it into the fluid and drink that. That's it. You can't eat meat. You have to grind it down a little bit, maybe just taste it on the tip of your tongue. Yes, all food has stopped. He's got money, he's got asset, he's got status, but he can't eat anything. Look at this, remember this. These are asbab, these are money, wealth, etc. I'll give you a statement here. The money, you know the money we're running after, the wealth. These are the meanings towards contentment? No. Yeah, do you understand what I'm saying? It's not the means to happiness, happiness, or money is happiness. Money is a means, but through money you cannot get happiness. If you're hungry, will you eat that money? No. If money cannot give you the happiness, if money was to give happiness, you can make a house with money. But if you don't feel sleep in the night, then where's the happiness? So money, you can get a big car. But if that car, if you're not getting happiness from that big car, then where's the solution? Where's the solution? Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you don't get the contentment, you've got the assets, you've got the car, you've got the house, you've got the money, but you're not at content. We want to be content. We don't need the material wealth. Understand this one. How? So he had the house, he had a big mansion, he had a big house, he had all the material things, but he didn't have the satisfaction. So he stood on his balcony, you understand balcony, in his big house. Yes, and there was a river there, and he saw the enjoyment of the river, mashallah. He was a little bit miserly and he saw there was a farm there. And Allah showing him the power that there's a farmer coming in the afternoon time. It was afternoon time, the farmer. So this rich man, Nawab Sahib, he saw on the balcony the farmer. He came in the afternoon. He took his kameez off, put it to the side. And he took out a little sack from his pocket. And he took two onions out and mashallah, he put the mat on the floor. Then he had another little bag and he took the tomato and he had two onions and he's cutting it down and he's mixing the food. The onions and tomato, and he's mixing it up. He put some salt on top of it. Then he put some more onions on top of that. And then after that, he, with a nice way, he took his roti chapati out from his cloth and he put some salt on and he started eating that. And he's eating and he's saying, Allah, I'm grateful to you. Allah, I'm grateful to you. And the rich man is looking from his balcony. And he's enjoying his meal. The farmer is tired and exhausted. He had his bread, chapati, and his sheet. He put the remainders left in, then he tied it up. He said, Allah, I'm grateful to you. Allah, I'm grateful to you. And he started crying, the rich man on the balcony. There's such a beautiful, look, I've got a bed here. I've got a bed. I've got a big mansion. My air conditioning. All night long, I'm tossing and turning. And I'm not at peace. I'm not content. I can't sleep. I'm taking sleeping pills and I'm distressed and I'm giving money to doctors. And this man, this farmer, this poor man, he doesn't have anything despite that he's happy and he's content. And biggest ni'mah that he's grateful to his Rabb for what he's got. Subhanallah. Both things, both opposites. Tell me, why? What thing didn't he have that rich man from inside? He's screaming out. The difference was that he was content and he wasn't content. He wasn't happy. He wasn't satisfied. So the person who's satisfied and content, he doesn't think, I'm on a straw mat, I'm on the floor. Always he's happy. Allah, I'm not worthy of this, deserving of this. It's your fadl what you've given to me. The man made money and wealth. He'll never say, Allah, it's your fadl. He'll say, oh, I worked hard. Allah, it's my efforts that gave me this. I kept on working hard and trying. And I made my children work. And I taught them. I didn't even go to Pakistan. And I did this tactic and this method and did these. I took money from this person. He's always thinking about himself and his efforts and his achievements. This and it's me and it's me and I've done everything. But he cannot even utter the word of satisfaction and peace and contentment. Whole life full of anxiety and complaining. And then question doesn't arise. Question doesn't arise. So if you are at peace in life, if you're content, your life's made, my friends. Do you understand what I'm saying? So today's subject was this. That tazkiyah we do, purification, we do this so that we can bring back all the good qualities into our life so we can become a good human being. Ahsan al-taqweem is evident in our life, visible. And the biggest quality, characteristic, is to be content. Try to attain that in life. Try to attain that. Shall I repeat again? Summarize? So the biggest quality in a characteristic in a human being, yes, that will save us from disaster, is to be content and satisfied. Okay? And to be content and satisfied, the best method to attain that, the first step, number one, is do dua to Allah. Pray to Allah. Allah, allow me to be content. And keep repeating, repeatedly, Allah, allow me to be content. Allow me to be content. Allow me to be satisfied. That's the biggest step. Biggest step, and reward will come, and all results. If Allah gives you a child, he says, Allah, I'm grateful to you. Allah, at least he's not blind. At least he's not disabled. Allah, okay, you've given me a child. At least I can see my child is sick, and I'm happy. And the person is not content. Allah, you wouldn't give me this child. And you gave other people children who are healthy, and I keep crying when I see my children. They're struggling, and this, and they're sick. This is the difference. But when a person's content, he thinks his child is like a flower, and fresh, and he gets muhabbat. And love of Allah through that. You understand what I'm saying? Dua. Pray to Allah. After praying, adopt the means. And what are the means to be content with your ruh, not with your body? And what's the means? Where do you learn to become content? From the company of the Wali Allah, the Sheikh. Yes? And you will get from the store of the Wali Allah, from the Sheikh. All the items for your refreshing your spirit and ruh, you get from the Wali Allah. Find a Wali Allah, go to him, sit in his company, and say, please do my tazkiyah. This defect take out from me, this defect take out from me. Submit to the teacher. And then whatever he says, instructs, do that. Whether you really went there genuinely, then you start to follow his guidance, that teacher. And if he says day is day, if he says it's night, you follow him blindly. That's it. That for the sake of Allah, you have taken your hand, you do my salah. Down, you don't stick your leg into it. If you stick your leg into it, then kibr is there. If you complain, then kibr is there. When everything you submit to him, follow his instructions, then you are a genuine student. And then be happy whatever Allah gives. A great result. Allah says, on my instruction, you follow this journey and you are seeking my happiness. Whether you get the end result or not, but you are making effort, you're working hard. Whether you get the success or not, but your Rabb said that when you come to me, Saim Mashkura, Allah says, your effort and struggle, I've accepted. I've accepted. You will rise amongst those people who are content, and you are the grateful servant of Allah. So close your eyes, and work and make effort and follow the guidance of the teacher. Do the dhikr of Allah. What is the right of dhikr of Allah? Make the effort on that dhikr of Allah. What is the right of dhikr of Allah? What is that tariqah? That also your teacher will prescribe to you according to your circumstances, your life, your sicknesses. Whichever sheikh you go to, every sheikh has his own style and manner, method. You can't say my sheikh's better, his sheikh's not better. Every sheikh has his own effect, his own method, his own style. So keep on following the method and the style that the sheikh has prescribed to you. Whatever he instructs you, prescribes to you, you follow that and you benefit from that. So if the sheikh says to you, do 5 tasbih, you say 5 tasbih, your 5 tasbih is equivalent to 5,000 tasbih. That for you is dhikr kathir, whatever your sheikh prescribed to you. Do you understand dhikr kathir? Dhikr kathir, if he says to you, do 5 tasbih in the morning, 5 in the evening, then for you that is dhikr kathir, dhikr in high quantity. And that is the dhikr that will cure your issues. That's the dhikr that will cure your issues, which is giving you the solution to your diseases. Yes, so for example, he doesn't tell you to stop work, he doesn't tell you to stop driving a taxi, he won't tell you to stop working, run your business, he won't tell the women folk to stop cooking or doing the housework, nothing. So easy is Naqshbandi silsila for this day and age. The heart is being cleaned and your work in the dunya is progressing as well. So easy, simple, even then we can't do the dhikr. Women folk at home in Parda can practice. Men folk, you got cars day and night, you're working, and you can just keep coming to this khanqah. Allah has made this place a khanqah of dhikr. As long as we are here, it's a khanqah. When it's gone, then it's gone. It's something else. Day and night come, if you're free, no difference will it make. Why are you coming? For your benefit, for your purification. Allah is happy, Allah's Rasul is happy. Allah says, look how much effort my servant is doing. How much khawf he's got for the hereafter. Fear for the hereafter. How much my servant is greedy for the hereafter, that he wants to improve himself and purify himself. Will Allah not improve such a person? And you just keep on sitting down, complaining, crying, putting your, just crossing your legs. Oh, it's a waste of time. Someone has to push you, force you, ask you if you've done dhikr or not. Is this a tariqah, my friends? Someone has to force you? Don't you have your own passion and desire to improve? Don't you have a desire to become a good person? With the hereafter, keep on trying. Don't ask, think that someone's going to ask me, are you good? Why are you not doing this? A person like that will never succeed in their life. Submit yourself. When you go to learn knowledge, the Sahaba Akram had this style, the noble companions. They would run to each other. What hadith have you learned today? They would sit all night long, all afternoon in the heat, and they would knock on the door to ask when the Sahabi would come out. When did you come? Oh, I was sat here from last night. Who? You didn't tell me, you should at least said you've come. Why have you come? He said, I just came, I heard you were in the majlis of the Prophet. Tell me the hadith that you heard so I can learn as well. This is that reward. This is this, I'll be greedy for the hereafter. Hazrat Sahab, I've come to do dhikr. Okay, let's do dhikr together and sit down together and do dhikr of Allah. For one day did Allah say do dhikr? Allah says kathir, walking, sitting, lying down. Such a place, a focal point you've got of dhikr. Drink water from there, quench your thirst day and night. Do dhikr day and night. Just like you do drink zamzam when you go. Drink the dhikr of Allah in the same way. Consume it in the same way. And in this day and age, we are desperate for dhikr. The more we can work hard, do the work hard. Always sit in the company of your sheikh. Every moment, whoever is your teacher, I'm not saying I'm your sheikh, whoever is your teacher, wherever your sheikh is, take hold of his company. Because shaitan is he who removes you from the path and connection with your teacher, makes you wretched and cursed. This is the sahih, authentic path, the sawwuf, connection to a teacher. Otherwise people are scattered around the world. You have hadith, he's haris, greedy of the dunya, mutakabbar, pride, and the solutions are there. If he's not following the prescription of the sawwuf, then he will suffer, that person. Full of mujma of sins, a collection of sins, that person, if he doesn't follow the prescription. All defects are embedded in that person. But the student is working hard, wants to extract his defects, and he's working hard, then subhanAllah. Congratulations, Noor Allah, Noor is that student. SubhanAllah. And what is that person? That he's got Quran ilm, he's got hadith ilm, knowledge of Quran, and he studied Sahih al-Bukhari, and he studied Sahih Sitta, and he's got dhikr of Allah on top of that, bonus, icing on the cake. Then those are people who are worthy of greed of the hereafter, their highest status. But of source, is sad to say, even that group today is behind everyone. And people such like us, they look at them, they say, they're not doing dhikr, so why should we do it? An alim, a scholar, can reform the whole society. A scholar, I'm telling you the right point here. A scholar, we don't need 50 scholars. We don't need 100 scholars. One scholar is enough. He's the deputy of the Prophet, the genuine scholar. Is he who has passed through the process of tazkiyah and is purified within. I'm talking about that scholar. His effect of hadith teaching, Quran teaching is different. His speech is on a different level. Yes, not every scholar can do that. Such an alim, such a maulana, who is genuine, honest deputy of the Prophet is he. A waris is he who is both il-ulum, tazkiyah ulum and knowledge of the kitabs. He is the true deputy of the Prophet. Because warasat, inheritance is of both ulum. The ulum of the kitabs and the ulum of the tasawwuf. The true genuine scholar, he who has learned the ilm, mustanad, genuine through the chain of the teachers back to the Prophet ﷺ. Not the titles. Oh, he's come, yes, oh, khilafat to you. No, those who have spent time in the khanka and spent their life in the khanka, in the company of the sheikh, those people, not do you go khilafat today. Honorary khilafat. Oh, Peer Sahib's come himself to the mulana, go to the madrasa, oh, you're my khalifa, and he's so he can run his show in the dunya. What khilafat? This is tazkiyah, purification. Until that scholar himself doesn't go and spend time in the company of the sheikh, how can he get that title and his ijazah? How can he get the effect of that ijazah? Khanka, live there, spend time there, then you'll realize in the khanka, spending one day, the hardship, the struggle, a person learns straight away that how much severity, the nafs is crushed and broken and then joined. But if you never sat in the khanka and have gone to the company, waliyala, never. And then you get the honorary degree, honorary ijazah. You know, like honorary degree to the universities, you got PhD because of who you are, and doctorate, honorary doctorate. Those who spent time in the university, they are deserving of the certificate. So definitely in the dunya, the people who can benefit the dunya, those scholars, not honorary scholars, those who spent time and submitted themselves to their sheikh after a time, after improving the qualities, they're given the instruction by the sheikh, you go now scholar and improve the society. That's the real sheikh. They are also present. It's not that you can't find them. You can find them if you're genuine. So such a sheikh, to find a sheikh, you need to work hard to seek a sincere and real sheikh. No, I'll go here, there. These are those thieves who spread the deen the way they want. Just take his hand. He's a sheikh. He's got titles, certificates. No. If you're sincere, then you need to spend time and effort. Even if in India, you have to go to a village to seek him. Even if in the Middle East, you have to go to Yemen. Anywhere in the corner of the world, you have to travel and make effort to find that teacher to learn the ilm of tazkiyah. Example, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, where was he sent? Tell me. Wasn't he sent? He was the Nabi of his time, the Prophet Sahib Sharia. He had a kitab, Allah gave him a book. Where was he sent? Go to this person. And did he reject? Did he make a fuss? No, he broke the desires. Listen to Allah Ta'ala's instruction. Did it happen or not? So I told you in the beginning, with the Nabis, the examples, they are to teach us lessons. So always remember this, the examples of the prophets, don't stop to pick up points. This is the Jamaat that's selected. So to teach us, Allah has given us examples to teach us people today. Sometimes Allah shows in such a day and age or another prophet, Allah put his prophets through different challenges and examples and trials in their life to teach us how we have to live our life. Remember this. I'm not an educated person, learned it. Just a few broken down things I know I share with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so alhamdulillah, may Allah Ta'ala accept our gathering today and these broken down words. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon this, not just listening. From today, make effort with what? To become content in your life. Crying, complaining, making a fuss to Allah, forget this. Whenever you have this feeling of making a fuss, crying, complaining, then straight when it's, I've got big defects. I'm crying. Allah, why have you made me sick? Allah, why have you made struggles for me? Why have I got problems in life? Oh, everyone is good, having a good life. No. If someone's going on Umrah Hajj and you're not going, say, Alhamdulillah, this is good for me. I'm happy with that. Allah, this is your karam. Why? Because at least in my heart I feel I want to go. At least I have the desire to go. At least I got du'as, Allah, that I want to go. And Allah, it's your choice if you want to call me. If you don't, Allah, I'm happy and I'm content with what you decide. Then the enjoyments of Medina will physically come to you in your life. Anything that you're not getting in your life, Anything you know get in your life, anything that you're feeling that is lacking, say, Allah, totally fine. Your karam, your achievement, Allah, your fadl, your grace. Whatever, Allah, I don't get, you know best, you're saving me from that thing. You're saving it. And that's it, all the crying and making a fuss will go, all the doubts will go, criticism will go. You're criticizing Allah and you call yourself a mu'min? Complaining to Allah. Whenever a person talks like this, oh yeah, Allah, you give me more to him, why haven't I got this, you give him this, I don't achieve this, we're just sat here trying hard, they got something without trying and making efforts, and I've got this. Direct, you're challenging Allah and you're crying to Allah. Direct, you're challenging Allah and making complaints. What a big azab, big punishment. A mu'min quietly accepts, shukr Allah, I'm grateful Allah, whatever you've given. How? From the heart. The example of a Nabi Allah has given, the whole body has a Ayyub alayhi salam, his whole body, leprosy, decayed skin. What was the hal of his shukr? That even if there was an insect walking past him, he'd pick the insect up, put him on his body. Why are you walking past? Allah sent you next to me. Come onto my skin. Allah has given you the rizq. The whole dunya left him. But he was grateful. He never said to Allah, Allah, you've taken everything. He was grateful. Grateful. Repeatedly. Still grateful to Allah. Eventually, Allah said himself that Allah, there wasn't that it couldn't be. But Allah gave the example of the Nabi. They just did one dua, one statement. Allah. That's all he said, Allah. He didn't say that, Allah, I'm finished, I'm gone. He just said, Allah. My arham ar-rahimeen. Allah loved that. That he turned to Allah. That Allah said, give him again. Strike your foot on the ground. Strike your foot on the ground. Nothing is far, nothing is fire. Why do you think, how will this happen? Allah said, nothing is difficult. Allah says, everything is possible if you turn to me. So when he struck his foot on the ground, the fountain gushed out. And Allah Ta'ala gave him all the cure. And such a beautifully came out from that fountain. From the, when the water came from that, the dunya was amazed. But, subhanAllah, his wife, all the world had run away. But Allah gave him such a great wife, she didn't leave his side. All life long she stuck to him and stuck with him. What a great example Allah has given. Not that Allah Ta'ala has given a story of someone in the world. Allah is explaining to us with the example of His Prophet, become like this. Your Rabb, your Creator, wait for His rewards, wait for His fadl, wait for His grace. Keep on asking. Don't complain and cry and have doubts. My Mahbub Ayyub alayhi salam, did he complain? His body was decayed, but he never cried. So why do you complain to me, Allah says? Our Rabb listens, He knows, He is watching, He's Khabir Basir. Keep asking, Allah knows you, what you're asking, what you desire, what your difficulties are. Allah is aware of everything. Why do you cry and run around and best desperate and begging from people, Allah says? Come to my darbar, to my court, Allah says, ask from me. Say subhanAllah. That's it, no sadness, no distress, no fikr. Beware, never complain. Sufi, never on his tongue should he complain. Cry. What crying are we doing to Allah? Why are we complaining? Okay? Mala, alhamdulillah. Mala ta'ala, accept this majlis of us. Ameen. Recite the rushan.
Now perform muraqabah. Muraqabah is defined as thinking, focusing, paying attention, your thoughts. Totally, in a total manner, on one thing a person focuses attention on a center point, on a focal point. Totally, comprehensively, detaching from everything to pay attention totally on something, that is termed muraqabah. Thinking, paying attention, focus, proper focus, nothing else is coming in mind at that time, no thoughts are coming in mind at that time. Even if thoughts are coming and they're crossing your mind, then to suddenly remove them, eliminate them, distance yourself from them, and then to focus again on the focal point that you're thinking about. This is called muraqabah. So this can be done on everything, anything. Remember this, muraqabah can be done on anything. You can consider anything, think about anything based on this definition. But the Sufis, the walis of Allah, the people connected to Allah, they think over and they pay attention to Allah's name, to Allah the Creator, because Allah is the markaz, the focal point of everything in the universe. Allah, in the hadith, they said that Allah is that name that all names are given to things in the dunya. If we see around us, everything has a name somebody has kept. For example, a father or an uncle has kept a name of children. This is dunya, the world. But the greatest in the universe, if we see, that Allah is the greatest, and after Allah, the greatest status is His Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, His Prophet. Even His name, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah kept His name, selected His name. But Allah's name, nobody else has kept. Nobody has kept. In the hadith it is stated, Allah says, Allah praises His name. That Allah is that name. Allah says, I myself selected this name, Allah. That's how great is this name. That Allah said, my name, I selected myself, the name for myself. And then, what did Allah do? Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. Allah said, then my name, I protected it in the Quran. I revealed it in the Quran, my name. And then that same name, Allah, Allah said, whoever I wanted in my makhluk creation, I taught them my name. What a great statement. In the creation of Allah, there are select people who always they keep repeating the name of Allah. Allah is saying this. And then Allah says, then such insan human beings I selected, that was their duty, their job, to keep on reciting my name. I assigned my name to them, that they recite my name, repeat my name. Then Allah said, in my ghaib treasures I protected my name. In other words, reality, Allah has protected His name. So who is Allah? Nobody can think, no one can imagine, nobody can know that how much nur is there, how great is. But Allah has just given us a hint that the whole universe that we see, everything we see around us, the value of everything is based on Allah's name, Isma Zad. Just on Allah's name, everything is existent, and the universe will remain existent as long as in this dunya, even if there's one individual who is saying Allah, this dunya, Allah says, I will not finish it. I will not finish it. We see how valuable is this name, Allah. Great value. So what do we do? What do the friends of Allah? That for tazkiyah, Allah Ta'ala has selected them to do the tazkiyah with His name, Isma Zat. So to repeat this name, to recite the name, Allah selected muraqabah. In other words, total focus, attention on Allah's name. Leave everything else aside. So it's totally a new definition that I'm describing to you. So that everything that you can focus on Allah's name and not on anything else in the world. Because as you repeat, 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 what happens? Subhanallah, a great maqam status comes. Ya baqi antal baqi. That's it. Allah, you are everlasting. There's nothing else except for you. La mawjudu illa Allah. There's nothing present, existing except for you, Allah. Nothing else can he see, that individual. So this is how much he becomes immersed and used to thinking, muraqabah on Allah's name. Allah, Allah, Allah. So this is what we do. Muraqabah, we do muraqabah in the heart. In the heart, we silence the tongue, we stop looking, we stop moving, the body is stopped, everything ceases, everything is frozen. And after stopping everything, then the full attention on just one place, where Allah Ta'ala says that where I can be present, and that is the qalb, the heart of the individual, human being. So the individual pays attention to his heart. Then he thinks, he does muraqabah, he ponders, he thinks over Allah's name. Special name. He thinks about Allah, not Allah's attributes. He thinks about Allah Himself. And then Allah's name, which is Allah's personal name, Allah. So the person thinks, focuses on Allah, pays attention to Allah, and then he does dhikr of Allah's personal name. He remembers Allah's name. He doesn't say anything verbally, no dialogue, doesn't move his tongue, he doesn't open his eyes, look around. Doesn't pay attention to anywhere else, mind. Just focusing on the heart, and upon the heart, from his name, with the nur of his thoughts, he writes the name Allah on his heart. And then he pays attention and says, Allah, 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 Allah. And with this focus, attention, he becomes immersed and used to saying that. And this is called muraqabah. So what are we doing? We're doing muraqabah ismi zat. We are doing muraqabah of Allah's name. In other words, our attention we're paying to our heart. This is called وَقُوفِ قَلْبِ, to focus and pay attention to that. This is the Islah of the Naqshbandi Salsala. First thing is in Muraqab, وَقُوفِ قَلْبِ. In other words, what? The full attention you pay towards the heart. Full attention towards the heart. Focus. You are protecting. You are watching over. From all sides and corners, you are emptying the heart. You are totally emptying the heart. Emptying it. You're protecting the heart. Watching over the heart. That nothing else should come in. Protecting it, securing the heart, because I'm connecting, maintaining my relationship with Allah, me and Allah. I'm maintaining a relationship with Allah. Then after that, with the tongue of your thoughts, so you eradicate all other thoughts, and with the tongue of your thoughts, you pay attention to your heart, and with the tongue of your thoughts, this is the words that the Mashaykh said, with the tongue of your thoughts, you say, Allah, 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 Allah. You keep on continue saying Allah. And this is the tariqah, the method of doing muraqabah.
To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. I will explain about this. I hope everybody understands it. That the muraqabah is called meditations, which is also doing now everywhere. Other people are also doing this, but for other purpose. I told you, muraqabah can be done by anything. As I told you, explained to you before, you know. So they take the advantage of this way, and they start doing, but they start muraqabah's thinking, concentration on the wrong places. So they're not getting the benefit actually, but the people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, want to increase their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have selected the proper way for doing the muraqabah. And what is that? That the Ism Zat of Allah. There's no way we can find everything. This is the key point of a Muslim. Allah. Nothing is bigger than Allah name. Nothing is bigger. This is the biggest name who covered whole universe. Allah. With the light. The tajliyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Allah gives the power to the person of Iman wal Mumineen. He gives a special power to them. They can think it about it. Otherwise, it's very difficult even to think about this name in the heart. It's so jalali and so powerful name. Nobody can. Nobody can. But Allah gives the power, special power to the Muslim people, and only those people who have the intention to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to everyone. Not to everyone. Can't to anyone. Wrong person. Only who is the full intention, who want to increase the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who want to go in this way, Allah give him special power and light to recite this name, Ismi Mubarak, in his heart. Otherwise, it's impossible. How he get it? He get it after seeing some sheikh. Because he's already permission to give the name to the other person. So to learn this name, for doing the zikrullah and muraqabah, you have to learn from Shaykh. It's a must. Otherwise, maybe the wrong thing will happen with this. So must go to learn this zikr, Ism Zatullah, through some Shaykh, because he has the power given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can give to the other and transfer to the other peoples. Not the everyone. So, alhamdulillah, we are selected on these people that who are get the permission to go to Shaykh, and he give the permission to us, you can recite this name in your heart. Subhanallah. 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 So then, I have seen how to do it, taking this name with the permission of Shaykh, who give the permission of taking the name of this. You should call meditation the way. Meditation means that you think name of Allah, taking of all the thoughts, everything in your heart. Empty your heart with everything. Pure your heart with everything. And then start thinking the name of Allah in your heart. And say, not with the mouth, not with the tongue, not with the breath. Some people say, not like that. Some people do. No need for that. Most powerful things in the heaven is intentions. Thinking's power is very, very powerful things. By thinking, you can see in a minute in Medina. So, intention is so powerful. What do you think? You can go there. Isn't it? You can do there. Before plane, you can go there. Allah gives so power to the human being. The thoughts is very, very important, powerful things in the mind of people. So, Allah says, to learn to decide my name, use this power of intention. And I pure your this intention, this will increase gradually then. Alhamdulillah. So take this full intention towards your heart and with the tongue of your hearts. This is our intention. Start saying Allah, 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 Allah. And then what's the rest? Nobody knows. It's between the man, human being, and Allah. What you're asking, what he gives you, nobody knows about it. समझिएगा बाद में दोनों जमानों में समझिए चलिए इंशाल्लाह क्या करते हैं मुराकबा यानी इसमें जात का जिक्र कल्ब के ऊपर जबान को हिलाए बगैर दिल की जबान के साथ Allah, Allah, Allah. Bismillah. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وحسننا وجدنا خطبنا عملنا كل سالك الدنم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم نسلك الأخلاق من فضل دين دنيا على المعالج الكريم اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء دنيا والآخرة اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء دنيا والآخرة اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء دنيا والآخرة ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم ثبتنا الإيمان وأمتنا الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا نافع المليات اشف ملياتنا يا شافي المرض اشف مرضنا يا شافي المرض اشف مرضنا يا شافي المرض اشف مرضنا اللهم عافنا في بطني اللهم عافنا في سمي اللهم عافنا في بصري لا اله الا انت ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.